Hello and welcome along to the New Music Podcast, episode number 12. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Adam Tinian. I'm joined here by the magnificent, the new nervous kind.
Hello.
George and Terry.
Hello.
How are you?
How's it going?
Can you just please say your name in Irish?
Turlock Mag Fanalia.
Sorry?
Turlock Mag Fanalia.
Because that's what I see on Facebook, and then suddenly it says Terrence and...
Yeah,
Terry, I don't know if I should.
Well, my name is Terence Ginley. It's just that's my name in my native language.
You know? Oh, so literally it is a direct translation.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I thought it was a bit more exotic than that.
I mean, I'm not actually even fluent in Irish, but it's okay. It's sort of like a fad that everyone does on Facebook if you're from Ireland.
What, you put your Irish name, introduce yourself, and you're
like,
okay, got you.
It's a bit confusing because people actually think that I'm one of those. No, like fake people trying to add people
really?
On Facebook, so no one ever adds.
To be fair, well, when you first messaged me, which was way back when we started Seaside Sessions, like right back in the beginning in March or April last year, your profile picture's just sound waves, and I don't know what was going on. It was a strange one.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we got together because we had a session just before Christmas 2017, and the videos have been out so far. They've gone down really well, so. I think by the time this episode goes out, because we record a bit in advance, obviously, by the time this goes out, I think the next track would have been out. So that would mean you'd have had three songs out, and they've all gone down fantastically well. So,
sweet.
So as usual, listeners, we're going to kind of go into, we've got three songs today that we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about the lyrics and then you guys as artists and how you met and, I don't know, future plans, whatever you want to talk about. Yeah. So, but let's start off, let's get into this. So the first track we're going to talk about today is Let Me Know. So tell me about it. So Terrence, you're the writer, right?
Yes.
Tell me about the lyrics, tell me what it means.
That Let Me Know is actually about George.
All right.
It's about me, apparently.
All right. George, he just sort of had a troubling relationship and it's not directly sort of pointed at him, you know, it's just... That's what was on my mind whenever I was writing it. But I had this, I always had the riff. I used to live with George back in uni, and I had the Let Me Know riff, the chorus, the hook. And I remember trying to actually jam with George on this, and he was like, no, you always do this, you know. But it turned into Let Me Know. But the words Let Me Know just stuck in my head, you know, that sort of melody. And it's such a... It's like such a broad, sort of obscure saying. It could mean anything, you know, let me know about anything at all. So it just sort of trailed back and back and back, and it sort of just turned into a song about like a troubled relationship, you know, don't keep me waiting, do you know what I mean? But George was in my mind when I was doing it, I don't know why, you know.
That's lovely. Did you have a hand in writing it at all? Is it 100% you that writes the music?
Yeah, Terrence pretty much does all the parts and I just sort of play them a bit better.
Okay.
Except for that bum note, did everybody hear the bum?
I know.
I call it a jazz slide, but you know.
Yeah, I like that. That was in the Let Me Know video, of course, that went out a little while ago.
So
you guys obviously know each other for a little while then, so you obviously good mates.
We met in university, so Terrence came, like, we lived in the Headley's house together, and he sort of just turned up, this sort of pasty, you know, guy who turns up.
And I was like, oh, this guy.
Basically. And he was like, oh, I'm doing the music course. I was like, oh, I'm doing the music course. So then we sort of instantly had this sort of, like,
nice
bond. Here we are.
Good as that.
6 years later or something like that.
I mean, we've moved out and we've moved back together and stuff at various times. He's now in Canterbury, but I mean, it was just sort of we weren't ever in bands. We were always just playing in bands as part of uni projects and stuff like that for exams and stuff. And it wasn't even until after uni whenever I started writing music, and then I thought, right, I'm gonna get a band together. I've got 4 songs, we're gonna rule the world. And and then I approached George because he's only up the road, like, and I've remained in contact with him more than anybody, you know. And he's got some cool effects pedals, so he's got the gear. So.
Right. Criteria 1 tick for being in the band.
I mean, the idea was to actually approach all my friends from uni because George actually lives with a bunch of people that we used to go to uni with anyway, and they're all in various bands, and I actually wanted everyone to sort of join in, but they're all just too busy at the minute, you know.
Right, I see.
Even George. George is in a number of bands, you know.
Yeah, so of course. Well, you were on a course before George. I met you first with Phoebe.
Yes,
wonderful,
yes.
Phoebe Warden.
Phoebe Warden, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's interesting. So I thought you were going to say that you've been in the band together all the way through uni, but it's a fairly new thing then.
No, yeah, very recent.
This is really recent, yeah. We've actually only played about six or seven gigs as a band. We're really
with ever changing lineup members as well.
Yeah, we're just we might as well be called the Revolving Doors. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's a great band name. I like it.
New band name. Yeah. Keep that in your pocket.
Dips in the nose, kind of.
Yeah. But yeah, the lineups just keep on changing. And we're forever using like dap drummers and stuff like that who are friends of ours, but they're just too busy to join the band.
Yeah.
You know. So it's a very slow process. I thought the hardest thing would have been sort of getting out there, but it's actually keeping members of bands. It's actually keeping the band together.
Yeah, yeah.
We do get a lot of excited people about, you know, interested in joining and stuff, but they're already in committed bands. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they've been like that for years. Mm. So it's just sort of, it's just that the better musicians out there are always the busier ones, and we're sort of. Mm. We're missing the boat on it, like, you know.
Do you find there's a shortage of drummers? Because I see this all the time on Facebook with bands that I've met. And how is that a thing?
There's not a shortage of drummers. There's a shortage of good drummers.
Right.
Yeah. This is what I meant about the musicians. It's mostly the drummers. It is mostly the drummers. I mean, I don't mean to sound rude, but if George left the band, I could replace him tomorrow with.
No, it's not like that.
It's just guitarists will come along, you know, like, you know, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Drummers, yeah, we're really, really struggling to find a drummer at the minute.
It's a funny one, eh? I mean, I think it was just today, I saw a band, Solo 90s, who have been in session numerous times, and they're looking for a drummer, and, you know, they're doing fairly big gigs now. You know, they're kind of surpassing the sort of local level, and even they're short. You know.
Well, actually, see, after that Let Me Know video went up the other day, Jake from the Solar 90s actually got in contact with me, and he said, have you had any luck with the drummer? He must be in the same boat, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I want to get into a few other bits about, you know, you growing up in Ireland and getting into music, Terence, and mm-hmm. also the band name. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the first track, I think, first. Let's give it a play. This is Let Me Know.
Gonna be mine.
Right, so next song we're going to talk about, we'll talk about Caroline shortly, but the new Nervous Kind. So when I first met you, Terence, I think you were basically, I'm not sure if it was tongue-in-cheek that you were saying that you're just nervous about playing. And like, is that the real name, reason for the name of the band?
No, but it sort of falls in line with me being the most nervous performer.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, I'm just sort of, I'm always banging my head against the wall before I go on, and George is always patting me in the back saying, it's going to be all right.
That was slipping him diazepam or something like that.
I mean, I feel you. I've been best man a couple of times, and I've got to do it again later in the summer of 2018. And like a month beforehand, I'm getting sleepless nights.
So I'd be more worried about that than playing, like, because that's...
Well, I suppose so, yeah. But, you know, I kind of get I get it. Talking in front of people, being in front of people terrifies me.
Yeah, I mean, if I was giving out speeches, it would be the same thing. You know, the only difference is you can't stutter on a guitar.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
We can, kind of, yeah, but... Yeah, yeah.
So, but genuinely, was that the real reason that you came up with the name of the band?
Or? No, well, the real reason was I've got family in Birmingham, and back in the 80s there was a band called The Nervous Kind.
Okay.
And they're family members of mine, like I had distant relatives, and I'd listened to a few of their songs and stuff, and I liked them, like, you know, it was sort of, I admired them a bit, you'd like, because they were family, and I was like, right, they did that back in the 80s.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They toured around with UB40 and The Jam and stuff, and they were pretty decent, like, you know. But they never quite got to where they wanted to be, you know. I remember a story my granny told me, that she said, you know, one of the members said to her, you know, I wanted to be bigger than we got, like, you know, and I thought, I'll take on the name here and see how far we get, you know, see if we can sort of continue what they did.
That's really nice.
And that's, yeah, and I put new in front of Nervous Kind, the new Nervous Kind, you know.
That's wonderful. I've never heard of the band, but I presume obviously, like, they're probably maybe big at the time in the area, but I suppose.
Yeah, they were a big local band in Birmingham. I think they even got a record deal off Richard Branson whenever he was just starting off, you know.
Virgin Records,
so,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Are they around still?
No. Well, they moved to America. The two brothers moved to America with another band member, and they just sort of, I think it just fizzled out, you know, and it didn't go anywhere past that, but they were... I remember, like, sort of seeing posts on Facebook about, like, you know, newspaper clippings of reviews of their music and stuff like that, and they were doing a good thing, like, you know what I mean. So I just thought, right, I'll see if
I'll keep the name on
and but there was one someone from Broadstars knew the band.
Oh, right.
And they contacted one of the band members who aren't my family, like my cousins. And he was going to sue us. He was like, I'm going to have to get in contact with my lawyers about this.
What?
And I went, hold on, I know Paul and Owen.
Yeah,
they're my family. I asked their permission. Could I use their name? And they were delighted with it. And he was like, oh, okay, go ahead.
Like, all right. Wow.
Yeah. That's so amazing. It was a bit strange. It was like, yeah. what's going to happen to this one? Like, you know?
Bloody hell! Wow, that's amazing. I suppose I was actually talking on the last episode, Steve Bolton, who was a musician, kind of grew up in Manchester around the 60s, and I think he was in a band called Atomic Rooster. Mm-hmm. And he said that it's all having a resurgence, and actually reformed a couple of years ago. Things like that, like you just said, you know, someone from Broadstairs knows this band from the Midlands from whenever it was. When did you say it was? That Nervous
from
Club?
The 80s.
From the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's always this big resurgence, you know, with vinyl and stuff like that coming back in the collectors. And I think it's great, you know, all these things coming up. Maybe not so great for you when you get emails about being sued, but...
It was a bit strange, like, but it sort of cleared up. It was sort of cleared up straight away as soon as I said, this is in sort of admiration of your band.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All right, no problem.
Nice,
<you know>.
Nice. All right, so let's have a little go with track number two we're going to talk about today. So this is Caroline. So tell me about this. What's the meaning behind it all?
Well, it started out as Terence Count with this. He said, I've got this 2-minute song, which is, you know, short and sweet. And I said, okay, let's do it. And I heard it. And I was like, this is really good. Like, I feel like you should add to it.
We did, because the verses were actually half the length.
Yeah, they were half the length. It was a really, really short song, but I was like, no, it's really good with the riff, and then we sort of stretched out, and then we kind of middle-aged.
That's right, yeah. This is probably the song that wasn't just completely finished and brought to the band. This was something that I said, look what I'm working on, and then we basically set on, it was within the hour, wasn't it? It was just write more lyrics for the verses and stuff like that, because the chorus, I don't know why I was thinking it, but I actually was thinking that's just going to lead on to a bigger chorus,
right?
But it fit in well, you know, it sat really well with the longer verses, and we just had a bit of a play. There's a verse riff, the opening riff, it drops out in the first half of the verse and then it comes back in again, which sort of changes things up, and the bass riff changes as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of signals the second half of the verse and then it moves on. So that was one of the first ones that we talked about as a group. I mean, it was everything was there, the riffs and all, but we started sort of piecing it out a bit more, you know, bit of a bigger painting, like, you know.
And so obviously you do all the writing, as we've mentioned before, already. So, like, how do you get into that? So you say you had something, but not a fully formed idea with this song in particular, but how do you normally, what's your process of doing this sort of thing?
My process is, I consider myself initially a guitarist. I don't consider myself a singer. I just see myself as the dude who has to do it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I always start off with a guitar riff or a chord progression. Then I'll sing something crappy, and then I'll sing something a bit better, and then I'll sing something a bit better. It's sort of like a draft. Do you know what I mean? And this, the Caroline, was the final draft of what I had started originally.
Right, okay.
Now, the melody and stuff, whenever I took it to George, it was already there. It was already there. But it was just like, right, let's not have a 2-minute song, let's make this a 3-minute song, you know. And it was just basically a case of writing a few extra lines, you know, and keeping that verse melody, and then the chorus just came in naturally and stuff like that, you know. But the middle eight wasn't even there, wasn't it?
No.
It was basically a couple of verses and a couple of choruses, you know. Yeah. The middle eight didn't even actually come in until, it might have been about a couple of months later. I used to just sing melodies with blunt words, you know, like mumbling and stuff, just to see if it works, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It eventually developed into sort of words, you know, that's basically what it was there. And then we talked about bringing the dynamics down after the middle eight, just to the drums and bass.
Yeah, that sort of broke down a bit.
It sort of starts coming back in, it'll come in full throttle, you know, in the end verses, you know.
Brilliant. Alright, cool. Well, let's give it a listen then, shall we? Let's go. So this is Caroline.
Still, you know.
right then, so two out of the three down. So the next track we're going to talk about in a second is Pictures, which I've not heard before. This is a new one. I don't think anyone's heard before. Or did you say you've gigged it once?
A couple, once, twice, one time, it doesn't exist
on the internet. This is going to be the first time it is heard by other ears than yours.
Baron, man, this is one of those first draft things I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, of course, yeah.
It could change as a finished piece, but we'll have gigged it, so we might as well.
Yeah.
It works, it's good, it's good.
Yeah. First draft,
but
I like it.
George seems to like it, you know, he seems to think it's one of the better ones.
All right.
Mm.
Well, my problem with it is it's just not recorded as well as I would have liked. You know, it's pretty flat at the minute with the drum track and stuff. It is what it is. But the things I've started realizing recently that things only come alive whenever you get drums and you get a bit of dynamic in there anyway. So it'll give us an idea.
I must say it's not a problem that we have with Seaside Sessions, but obviously it's more of an acoustic setup. But whenever I have had drums in here, everything just does sound so much better. It's just the nature of the recording that, you know, I kind of have to say no to drums, mostly because it just overpowers all the mics, you know.
Yeah.
But whenever I've had them in, like with a stripped back kit or just, you know, even a cajon sometimes, just bring something out, you know. But look, we'll get into that in a minute anyway, the meanings and all that behind the lyrics, that behind Pictures. But just tell me about you guys. So obviously you're from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what's your journey from being a kid, wanting to be a superstar, to end up in Margate?
I wasn't musical at all. Like,
oh, really?
For ages, I was too busy being a kid. You know what I mean. There's a lot of the people over here I've met been playing guitar since they were 10, 11. I didn't start till I was 18 or 19. Like, you know.
Okay.
But it's sort of like how I got into it. From about 13 or 14, I was always in the music. I started out with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff, you know, and like eventually sort of started listening to like noughties music, you know, like the Libertines and the Strokes and stuff,
which
you could probably hear bits of in my music, but stuff like that. But it wasn't actually, I had learned a couple of notes on the guitar when I was about 15 or 14 or something, and I could play 30 seconds of like Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? And that's the only thing I could do. It was right, just okay. Crap at it. And I went to live in America for a few months, and I was in a basement with a few people, and someone knew how to play drums because there was a drum set sitting there and there was a guitar, and I went, I know how to do this. And
right.
So I started playing this Chili Peppers riff, and this fella started playing along with the drums with me, and I just went, wow, like, this is brilliant, this is really good, like. And it sort of took me, you know what I mean? I'd never jammed with anybody before, except to learn something from them, you know, like that. I'd never even sort of learned a full song or anything like that. But the 30 seconds of me sitting there playing along with the drummer, I was just like, this is great.
That was a life-changing choice.
I immediately found out, started sort of going about learning how to read tablature and stuff like that. And that was it. Like, you know, a couple of years later, I enrolled in college and started sort of learning about music theory and becoming better at my instrument. And eventually it led to me. I had to do 4 years at it. Like, you know, that's why I started uni so late. But it eventually led to me, you know, sort of looking to get into university and keep it going. Like. But it, I went to university thinking, you know, if I only do this for another 3 years, then so be it. I had a good time and I've got a hobby I can go to. But then when I left university, it was empty. I was going to work, and I was coming home and I was going to work.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, nothing even clicked in me. I was just going home and I was playing my guitar after work. But then I started putting words to it, and then I wrote Let Me Know, and I thought, I like listening to this. Like, I actually did like listening back to it. So I thought, right, I'll write another one, and then I'll write another one. And, okay. And eventually I had four songs, and then I emailed a few people and went, right, let's start a band, like, you know. And
brilliant.
It hasn't been successful yet, but
it's up and running, it's in the process.
Well, yeah, I've started something I can't stop now.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm probably going to do it forever.
Yeah.
And it's one of them things you it's not like sort of running or anything. Eventually you're going to have to stop doing that. But I can play guitar when I'm 75.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean? Absolutely. So
it's something that I'm going to have forever, and I'll probably end up doing it forever. Like,
you know? Nice one. I mean, it's remarkable something you just said there, and I'm looking at you, George. I'm going to. Did you start playing music very young? You're a very, very good guitarist. You must have been starting.
Oh, too kind. I started when I was 13, I think, or 12 and a half. Like, not massively young. I mean, I had a guitar lesson when I was in year 4, I think, really small. But
right.
I was learning right-handed because obviously I'm left-handed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know, and right, I really struggled. Okay. And I think my guitar teacher
they said not for
nah.
you.
but then I sort of didn't go back to it. And then I started getting really into music when I was like sort of becoming like an adult.
Sure.
And then sort of, you know, relating to it. And then I just thought, well, I want to learn the guitar. And then I think it was my mum or my cousin or my dad or someone was like, oh, you know, maybe you're left-handed. And I was like, oh. So I bought a left-handed bass actually first, started on bass. I was like, well, this is a lot easier. So then we went from there. And here we are.
Brilliant.
And I decided, I don't really know what else to do with my life, so let's just do music. So I just thought, let's go to university. Not necessarily to get a degree, but like to meet other musicians,
which I did.
Because let's face it, a music degree nowadays isn't worth a lot, really. It hasn't really got me that far.
Well, I suppose if you want to become a music teacher, maybe, but then I suppose that's even further qualifications, right?
Yeah.
Teaching well, degree can, as well. As,
you can, yeah. You can get away with not actually having a degree as long as you're great at what you do. Do you know what
true,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You don't really need a degree as long as it's more word of mouth with musicians. I mean, music teaching and stuff like that. I know someone who has more music teaching work than I do, and he hasn't got a music degree. He did a biology degree, but then decided I'm going to become a music teacher. And I just thought, why would you do that?
But wow.
There you go.
I love there's a I think it's an Ed Sheeran song, Grade 8, I think it is. He says, I did everything I need to except get a 2-1. I like the sort of meaning, you know, you don't need to go to uni. So, you know, it's, I think you're absolutely right. It's a great networking opportunity. It's a great sort of platform to get you into, you know, the new nervous kind.
exactly.
A band or whatever. But it's funny, just going back to what you said there, Terence, it's remarkable how many people I've met that haven't picked up a guitar until way later in life. That's the very first episode of this podcast that we did with Bodie, who's, I think he's about 32, 33, and he said he was about 26 when he first picked up a guitar. And he's just fantastic. He's just, you know, he does his whole thing with the loop and it's just like Ed Sheeran at the Grammys, you know, when he's just making everything happen all from nothing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right. Well, let's bring this back, shall we? To pictures. So tell me about, what does it mean? What's it all about?
Pictures. It's actually lyrically a song about freedom and identity. I don't want to sort of go down the route of saying it's a protest song, but it sounds
It's all good.
It sounds like a happy poppy song, right?
Okay.
you would swear it was, but it's it's just sort of you'll hear it. It's very, it'll be open to interpretation. It definitely will. It could, you know, most people probably think it's about a girl and a guy. You know what I mean? In my mind, it's about something different. But it'll probably end up being one of our poppier songs, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's very it's got quite a catchy chorus. It's very Stone Rosie-esque.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that
it's
comes
got
to
that
mind.
Sort of waterfallsy type of
like she bangs the drum, like it's just got it's great guitar work on it, like definitely.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Now all you need to do is play it better than me.
Oh, well, yeah. Play it right anyway.
Oh,
yeah, but it's just it is unfinished at the minute, you know, just a word of warning, but it's I suppose it's
a work in progress, maybe.
But I don't think it'll change massively.
No.
You know, it could maybe a slight melody change somewhere around the pre-chorus and stuff like that, but anyway, people don't even know what we're talking about here yet until it is.
Again, it's going back to Bodie actually, the first episode, and he was saying, you know, when he takes his things to a studio to be professionally mixed and mastered, you know, something more comes out, and you know, I guess sometimes you need that kind of third party, sometimes that sort of just a bit of distance from your project. You know what I mean?
That's right. There's certainly sort of a whole lot of magic that goes on behind the curtain, like, you know, these are sort of unsung heroes of actually making music. Do you know what I mean? And I know that there's a lot of people giving us good reviews about our music, you know, and I can't wait to get into the studio and get these done properly and get them actually out into the public, you know, because then they'll be worth maybe throwing money behind the advertise and stuff like that, you know, to get them to a wider audience. But there's definitely something that happens in the studio that I can't do in the living room. Do you know what I mean?
You're right there. All right, cool. So let's give this one a listen then, and then we're going to come back from this straight into the 5 minute song challenge. Looking forward to that, guys?
Yeah.
No.
All right, this is Pictures. Right then, ladies and gents, so here we go then, the new Nervous Kinds 5 minute song challenge. Ready for this, lads?
Yep.
Yeah?
As ready as we're ever going to be.
You look so, you look so happy.
Until we did.
All right, let's do this. The floor's yours. Take it away.
Oh, my soul, what she wore, a smile.
cut the line. Cough it up until you're bitter. Light it up and cut the line.
Absolute consummate professionals. Didn't even flinch when the mic stand fell over. I love it, guys. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
No problem.
All right. Thanks for joining me. Thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us on episode number whatever we're on now for the New Music Podcast. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And don't forget to give us all the ratings on the iTunes stores and all that cool stuff. And we'll catch you next week.